Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
All right, Lee Cantor here with Mr. Stone Payton on another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. How you doing, Stone?
Good morning, sir. I am doing well and still kind of reeling a little bit from yesterday. Had a lot of fun at Startup Riot, and I got to give a shout out to those folks over at Uber because, you know, I took an Uber ride from the studio downtown to Lucky Street at the Tabernacle. What a fantastic service, man. They rock.
Yeah, they did a great job. Got you there safely and quickly. But a big shout out to Sanjay and his team over at Startup Riot because that, once again, another great event. 30 startups. They had 3 minutes and 4 slides to tell their story to investors. And, you know, we got to do some interviews. It's always a fun time over there.
So did you have a favorite or a startup that stood out for you that you thought, you know, maybe you might write a check?
I don't know about that, but there was a bunch of interesting ones. The first time that we had an actual product, usually they're web-based,
that's right.
But this was the first time we had an agricultural product, which was interesting. And then we saw some old friends, too, that we've run into, you know, a few other times at other events.
It's a fun crowd, and I look forward to continuing to hang out with them and do remote broadcast at these events. And we were invited by two different groups to come down and visit them at the Tech Village.
Tech Village and Chattanooga, which has an up-and-coming startup scene.
Yeah,
also.
We're going to put a studio in Chattanooga for too long.
That's right.
This is going to be a fantastic segment today. A little bit later in the program, we're going to get a chance to visit with Gabriella Eisenhart from the Art Institute of Atlanta. And we're going to have a conversation with Kelly Treadway, who is the president of ISES Atlanta Chapter, and she's with Event Curious. But first up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce from Thrive Mobile, Mr. Joseph Tomaszewski. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Good morning.
How'd I do on that last name?
You nailed it.
That was pretty good.
So what's thriving in mobile, man? Get us caught up.
Oh, that was really bad. a lot of stuff is thriving right now.
Do you think mobile's going to stick around, or do you think that's
it's
sad,
here for a while,
like MySpace?
In its current form, it's going to stick around, but I think we're all going to be wearing watches that are phones and
watches. Do you think watches are going to
We're going to a wearable computing world in the very near future.
Do you think so?
Absolutely.
And so, how are you guys playing in this marketplace?
Well, currently right now, we're a little bit different from other companies out there right now in that we're doing apps and programs for clients, but we're also working on our own software.
Oh, your own proprietary software?
Yep.
So what's the advantage in that?
Well, the advantage of that is that we're able to have two different revenue streams, but we've spent years working on software for other clients, so we really sharpen our teeth. And we feel like we've learned so much that we're now able to kind of use everything we've learned for other folks to enjoy.
So now, is this a platform that enables other firms to have an application for a mobile device that's just a more efficient way of getting it out there?
Well, we're actually working on two different sides. What's interesting about mobile is that a lot of other companies out there, they have to choose between, do I want to introduce a consumer product or do I want to do something for the enterprise side?
Right.
And we have enough resources right now that we're actually able to attack both sides of the market.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're going to be working on first is a game.
A game?
Yes, sir.
And can you talk about it or it's secret?
It's going to be a racing game, but that's all I can say.
This is right in your wheelhouse. You're always talking about gamification. You're wanting to add stuff to our website, your whole ambassador thing.
Right, but this
thing
is different, right? You're talking about, is it a multiplayer game or a single-player game?
Single player and through online play, it could be a multiplayer game.
Mm-hmm. So how does this thing work? Let's say that at Business Radio X, we wanted to explore the idea of having an app or a suite of apps. We sit down with the smart guys over at your shop and start.
Maybe he's the smart guy.
I actually think I already tried to sell you, didn't I?
Oh, did you?
In an email, I think I already tried to sell you.
I would have bought. I'm all over the whole app thing.
I guess I didn't do a good enough job.
We don't buy off emails.
So what's the process like? First, kind of a consultation type deal?
Yeah, it's a lot of back and forth, as you can imagine. But we spend a lot of time talking to our clients to make sure that every single thing that they want is included in what we could build. And So typically it starts with an idea. It goes to a wireframing process where we sit there and figure out, okay, here's each, where each button should be. Here's how it should look. We spend a lot of time thinking about how the user would actually use the program. And from there, we'll develop a database if we have to. And then we'll start working on programming. And it's typically a 4 to 6 week period of programming. And then we'll demo it, give it to our client. And from there, it's a lot more back and forth. Change this. We like this. We don't like this. And so we spend a lot of time going through all the little details with our clients to make sure the end result is 100% perfect.
Now, what's the expectation of a client when it comes to a mobile app?
In terms of business size or what type of client they are? You know, we've worked with folks all around the country. We work with international clients. We've worked with people across all different industries. Our typical client is a medium-sized business, and we're doing a lot of stuff that's behind the scenes for them. So, for instance, if you're a factory, we could create an inventory control app for you.
It could be something practical and functional rather than
absolutely
out to the consumer that they're
absolutely,
you know, playing with.
That, and that's essentially our bread and butter is working on those projects and programs that the public at large might not necessarily know about.
Right.
Okay, so let's play this out a little bit. Business Radio X, what would be, help me think this through. How would Business Radio X use an app? I mean, there's the obvious app of you go to it, you hit the button, and you hear live programming from one of our four studios or a remote broadcaster.
Or one of the like old shows of past guests. I mean, past old shows for a given show.
But what else can you do? What else would you do with an app in this environment, maybe?
Yeah, but you're going to put him on the spot.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think.
We'll see how good he is.
Well, no, I don't want to put him on the spot, but I do. I want to think through, because that's obvious. I mean, you can go to some like free appy, you know, thing that's already set up like that. But there's got to be some application for an app that helps us communicate with our listeners more, build community among our hosts, I would think, and stuff that they could do to share information back and forth. I don't know.
Well, first of all, it's we're at a point with mobile where it's very much like the internet was in the early 90s. So regardless of if you think you need it or not, you actually do need it, because
that's a foregone conclusion.
Right.
How are we going to do it?
It's a new platform for reaching new customers. And within the program, though, we could do, I know you guys have a podcast right now.
Right.
And so we could stream all that stuff directly into the app. We could have a database that archives past shows and we pull it up through the app. What's better about mobile versus the standard internet is the information comes to you. So when I want to go check out the Atlanta Business Radio website, I have to start up my computer, open up the browser, I have to search. And so I have to go out there and get the information. With an app, there's just a little icon on the screen. I hit it, and it all comes to me. So there's a lot of value in that.
And you could very quickly probably get to one little corner of our sandbox. Like, he might really get turned on to Jim Beach's School for Startup show.
Right.
And then you could I bet you could build this thing where someone that gets turned on to that, they can go to that, get to that easily, get caught up on the latest shows, hear the live shows, and any other stuff like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, really what we're doing is we're creating baby programs.
Right.
That's essentially what an app is it's a scaled-down program. So when we're developing something, you know, a lot of our clients, they approach us, they say, we have this desktop program, we want to do a mobile version. So we could pick different things that we think the user would want to see most, and that's what pops up in the app. So it's very much going through relevant data, and rather than hunting through a website, what I want to know about is right there in front of me.
Now, aren't people's mobile devices getting cluttered with apps?
It depends on the person, really. You know, some people have 10,000, some people have 10.
Right, but if you have 10,000 apps, aren't we back to the problem at the beginning of sorting through all the apps to find what you're really looking for at that moment?
Yes and no. I mean, there are, you know, search functions on every phone that will let you easily go through your catalog. A lot of times people will have the stuff they use most on, you know, on their first screen on their phone.
Right.
So you don't really sell by email. How do you even get in front of folks to have a conversation like this where we're asking questions and trying to figure out how to apply it to our world? How do you guys go to market?
At first, it was a lot of plowing the field and emailing people. But over the last year, year and a half, we've been very fortunate enough to meet some great people here in Atlanta in the PR space, advertising agencies, and we've kind of expanded that relationship to folks up in New York and in Miami. So we get a lot of our business from the agency side.
Nice.
But so they don't have, like, people that make apps, and then they just kind of white label yours?
You're the go-to, right?
Right, absolutely. And I'm
that's smart. Totally, that's good positioning.
I'm totally happy with that, too.
Yeah, that's leverage.
At the same time, we're having, within the last probably year, we're having so many people just contact us. It's ridiculous. And so that's really indicative of where the market's going on the whole, but we're also, you know, we're very involved with the TEDx Atlanta. We're involved with TechCrunch Meetup. And so through that, we're able to meet a lot of folks who otherwise wouldn't know about us.
So very heavily relationship driven, because right. I know for some folks, at first blush, or at least those of us that are on the other side of 40, you know, sometimes in our view initially, we think technology is going to replace the relationship or displace relationship, which I got to tell you, if you know, for some of us a little longer in the tooth, that gets a little scary. That's not the case at all. It can really enhance and promote relationship if it's utilized properly.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Now, is there an entry point that people have where they can kind of get a taste of this, or do they have to kind of commit to an app, like an app strategy? Like, is there a baby step that
an
they
app
can
snack?
Take? You know, like if I have a web presence, I don't have a mobile presence. And I talk to you, you're going to move me to some sort of a mobile presence?
Right. It's a relatively small investment considering the exposure that you could get out of it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we could do relatively basic stuff, but then we could scale up and work across.
Could do it over time, like phase into something more robust over time?
In some cases, but we've worked on literally four or five different platforms at once. Mm-hmm. So we can, you know, what we're working on for our enterprise side of software this summer, we're working across all platforms at once, which is very time consuming and expensive.
Sure.
But we offer anything from a relatively simple app that would be extremely cost efficient to a very large project that will really spread your brand out throughout every platform.
Now, is there a way to just make your site mobile friendly?
Yes, there is. I really don't like it, to mm-hmm. be honest with you, because it becomes a very, you know, an internet website right now, it's very robust.
Right.
And it's heavy on graphics. And you taking all that out and you're just doing little lines with text in right. mobile sites. And there are some really great mobile sites out there. But I think that the native mobile app blows it out of the water with what we could do in terms of functionality.
Right. So then you're better served investing in a mobile app.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, this strikes me as something that has universal applicability because my wife is with IBM, big company. She does a lot of project management work. She was up till 3 o'clock in the morning working on some project, but she also spends a lot of time in airports and rental cars. If she could tap into some sort of internal app that helps her communicate with other people on the project very quickly and efficiently. We're going to visit in a little bit with Kelly, who's in the event business. Imagine the how you can apply apps to communicating to those constituencies right. in the event business. You got Gabriella over here with students, faculty, and partners for the Art Institute. There's got to be some cool ways to do it. I mean, just to me, there's all kinds of possibilities for this thing.
You just said a lot of our secrets, a lot of stuff we're working on. You just told everyone about.
Sorry about that.
No, but you know what? The app that we worked on for TEDx Atlanta, we actually had a chat feature within the app so that the folks that are at the event literally have a platform to communicate with each other. You know, they could say, oh, that was a great speaker. They could ask questions. Mm-hmm. And so there's a conversation that goes on in real time, person to person in the room. But there's also a virtual conversation that happens through the mobile app at the same time and after the event is over.
To me, this is fascinating, and I understand that some of our listeners are much more ingrained in this and familiar with it than I am, but this has really got me intrigued. I'd love to have you come back sometime with a client.
That'd be great. Absolutely.
Would you be up for that, Lee, to have a conversation?
Bring your TEDx Atlanta guy.
It's a great lady by the name of Jen Graham at Unboundary. Hi, Jen. But I'd love to bring her on here. And actually, I'd love to have her come on here and talk about TEDx Atlanta, because we're big fans of the TED event, the TED events. And, going into 2014, we're going to be working with other TED events around the country. We're big supporters of it.
Yeah.
So let's do both. Let's get them back. And in the meantime, let's make sure our listeners know how to reach out to you so they can have a conversation about maybe putting this kind of technology to work for them.
Yeah. We're on Twitter, Thrive Mobile, Facebook, Facebook.com, Thrive Mobile, and of course our website, thrivemobile.com.
Is there an app? You guys have an app?
We will this summer. I'll go ahead and tell you what we're working on. We're actually working on what I call Roundtable. And what that is a communications platform and a collaborative platform for businesses. Right now, what exists in the marketplace is from desktop. It's a desktop version. And what they tried to do is they tried to take a desktop version and convert it to mobile.
Right.
And it's awful. And so what we think is we could go from mobile to desktop.
Right.
And we have a tactical advantage that way. But we also, the big secret about what we're doing is we're going to allow users to send video clips to each other. And this is meant for enterprise. This is meant for businesses. So if you have an executive team, we want all you guys to be able to communicate on this platform and send your video messages to each other.
And it's private?
Absolutely. And it's an encrypted 128-bit encryption.
Can it be shared to the public as well if you want it to? Or is it a closed system?
What this is going to be is a software as a service model, mm-hmm. and we're going to introduce three different pricing plans, and we're going to try to create something for everyone. So we think startups can afford to pay $12 a month.
Right.
We think mid-sized businesses can afford to pay $50 a month, and through each pricing tier, you're getting more and more benefits, obviously, and more users. And we're also giving you a ton of storage. So for our basic plan, you're going to get 10 gigabytes of storage. So I could send you, if we're a startup and we're working on mobile projects, I could go ahead and send you the photos that you need. I could send you the documents.
Right, space isn't an issue.
Right. And email is this very antiquated way to communicate with each other when you think about
right.
it. And what we want to do is we want to create a real-time chat platform that has these other features that allows these people. And it could really be for any size business, but we want them to be able to communicate.
Good stuff.
Exciting stuff. So let's make sure one more time, coordinates so people can reach out to you, email, website, whatever.
You could email us at info@thrive-mobile.com. And we're on Twitter, Thrive Mobile. We're on Facebook. And we have a 1-800 number, but unfortunately, I don't even really know it.
That's all right. If we get it after the show, we'll post it on our website as well. Well, thanks so much
That'd
for coming
great.
To visit, man.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Hey, how about hanging out with us a little bit while we visit with our other guests?
All right. I'll try to keep quiet.
No, you don't have to. We leave everybody's microphone open, so you might have something smart to say during their conversation.
All right.
So next up on Atlanta Business Radio, we have from the Art Institute of Atlanta, Miss Gabriella Eisenhart. Good morning, sunshine. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Did you learn anything apropos from the last conversation?
I was talking to Joseph in the waiting room, and I actually used to work for a mobile development. I'm sorry. Can you hear me? All right.
Yeah.
I used to work for a mobile development company doing marketing, so I'm familiar with the industry. Unfortunately, the company I worked mm-hmm. for didn't make it. It was a startup. So now I'm at the Art Institute.
So tell us a little bit about the Art Institute. What kind of problems are you solving and services are you providing for folks?
Well, the Art Institute focuses on career-focused education. We specialize in design and media industries and have a huge culinary department as well. And I specifically work in career services, which is really, a huge department at our school because we specialize in helping all of our graduates find employment once they graduate.
And that's a challenge for everybody now investing in education, is they want to know that this investment's going to pay off, so that you must be pretty busy trying to...
Yeah, we're very, very busy. I mean, we do everything that we can to make sure that our graduates are employed. We work with them like I said, for 6 months. You know, some of them would say that I harass them on a weekly basis, but I'm just trying to make sure that they're interviewing and getting a job. And I tell all of them, if you know, they do their part, meet me halfway, that fingers crossed we'll have them in some position within, by the time that 6 months period is over.
Now, are there certain groups of creative people that are more sought after than others right now? Is there a hot industry to be in?
I'm gonna say web. I actually am the advisor for the web program, the film and video program, and the visual effects and motion graphics program, and we have advisors that represent some of the other majors as well. But, you know, I can confidently say when my web graduates come to me that unless there's something wrong with you, we're going to be able to find you a job. I have more jobs come to me daily than I can fill.
For like a web developer?
Web designer, UX design. You know, even I have employers come to me all the time with mobile application development and design as well. We don't specifically teach that at the school, but I always recommend to my graduates that they, you know, seek that knowledge on their own.
You should send them my way.
I will. Well, don't worry. I'll give you a card. You should call me.
You
want
to be on her list of...
Yeah, absolutely. We'll talk. I already had that in mind.
So I imagine radio hosts are in high demand too, right?
Right. You get a lot of requests for radio hosts?
Not so much.
Really?
So you must have fantastic relationships with a lot of employers here in town. Yeah, you spend a lot of time hanging out with those folks?
Yeah, that's like, I would say, you know, that's 70% of our time is making connections with network organizations and, you know, companies. We have a lot of employers that just come to us now and say, hey, we're looking for this play matchmaker for us. And those are some of our favorite relationships.
So now when a person is going into the Art Institute and they're, you know, they're learning their craft, is there a program? Like, how do you help them be prepared for a job? Like, there's obviously the in-the-class stuff. But is there stuff beyond that, or how do they get, like, kind of practical knowledge as they're learning?
Absolutely. You know, a lot of the programs require internships, and if they don't, you know, I get into the classrooms and strongly suggest that everyone has an internship. But pretty much halfway through their program, they'll come to us, and we'll start sending them field-related employment. And, again, we stress highly that they build their resume before they come out, because education is extremely important, but they really need a full resume to get a job.
So they need some practical experience.
Absolutely.
And that gives them an edge, don't you think, if they have the practical plus they have the class learning?
Yeah, absolutely. So we really try to, you know, accompany their education with a strong resume. So we, again, I focus directly with just the grads coming out, but there's other people in my department who focus on helping them build their resume while they're in school.
So I bet you see some of the same missteps or mistakes from students getting ready to pursue a career over and over. You roll your eyes and you think, oh, here we go again, but let's save our listeners a little bit of trouble. What are some of those don'ts that you might share with us?
Oh, there's so many. But, you know, what I come across from day after day is, number one, these graduates thinking that their diploma is going to get them a job. And unfortunately, you know, yes, if you're a lawyer or a doctor, usually that will do the trick. But in these creative fields, that's not the case.
Right.
So, you know, making sure that they have a really strong internship, making sure their internship actually, you know, matches up with what they're trying to do when they get out of school as well. But we talked about that, enough of that. A huge mistake I see is, you know, they don't Google their name before they brand themselves.
Are some of them surprised at what pops up when they do Google their name?
Yeah, and I have a funny story to tell about that. I have a graduate, and I would never say any names, but this poor girl did not Google herself before. She did all her branding and spent all her money. And I had an employer come to me and said, oh, did you know that your graduate's a lingerie model? And I was like, oh, no. And I did a little research, and it wasn't her, obviously, but it was a girl with that
the
looked,
same name.
Mm-hmm. Right. And now we're having to jump through a lot of hoops, and I'm having to explain a lot of things to employers that just not necessary. So, you know, Google your name.
And then some strategies regarding that. I know we've had some guests on here, like that guy David Meerman Scott. Mm-hmm. The reason his name is David Meerman Scott, he's kind of known in the social media world, is because there's a David Scott. So he went. He had to add his middle name as part of his brand in order to be found only him instead of the 50 million other David Scotts that are out there.
Right, and then you talk about social media. That's the other biggest mistake I see is these kids don't realize that the first thing an employer does when they get your resume now is they have a little fun and they Facebook stalk you. And, you know, and I do the same thing to my grads to see what they're going to be putting up there. And I tell them, do not put anything on the internet that you wouldn't want to be seen on the front page.
Right, that beer bong photo isn't as hilarious to an employer. Right?
The things we see and the things that they say, it's interesting. So, you know, that's huge as well.
So some counsel for employers that may not have a great deal of experience hiring right out of school like that. What are some things we should keep in mind if we want to develop the most productive employee? What are some things we might should do differently than we would normally?
That's a good question. You know, I see a lot of employers really wanting to hire people freshly out of school and younger kids because they're so moldable. But, you know, a lot of our school, too, is a lot of people coming back to school just to change their career. So I deal with people that are, you know, in the middle of their lives and completely just starting over.
Are you seeing more and more of that?
Oh, yeah, I would
probably
say,
a lot
especially
recently,
actually
right?
in the web industry, I get a lot of graphic designers coming back because you can't really make money in graphic design anymore unless you know web.
So, like, they were a graphic designer, maybe they knew print or they can paint or
Absolutely.
Do something like that.
And they're coming back.
And then they come back, like, in their 30s or something later on in their career going, hey, I better learn some of this web stuff.
30s, 40s, 50s. I even have
really?
A graduate that's 60 right now. And I see it a lot in the web field. With production, they're more young, which they should be because it takes a lot of energy to be in that industry.
So what's your favorite part about the job, and what do you find a little bit frustrating, if not just an absolute nightmare from time to time?
The graduates. I mean, it's very rewarding to work with them and help them kind of launch their careers in a good path for them. And they're your biggest frustration as well, because sometimes I'd like to say it starts in the home. You didn't acquire certain skills that you got to just, you're constantly nagging in their ear. You got to do this. You got to do this.
Do you ever have anybody that you're like, wow, these people are, this person's super talented. Why don't they just listen to me and do these, you know, show up on time and do some of the basic blocking and tackling that it comes to?
Daily
basis.
Really? Daily basis. Yeah. But we do have, I have tons of graduates that are extremely, you know, professional and ready to go. But it is an acquired skill. You know, we teach them interview prep and stuff like that. It's hard to walk into a room and know how to interact properly on an interview.
Right. And then that's some of the skills I get at the Art Institute, right?
Right.
I wish I'd have had Gabriella. I might have a real job by now. Yeah. It's been a long, hard road from Pensacola Junior College to the pinnacle of my
Did
career.
Did they have an art institute in Pensacola?
Probably, but I never pursued an internship or anything like that. I have a kid now in school, and she's actually going after internships, and I'm not being able to offer her a heck of a lot of guidance. I didn't have enough sense to do it. That's a key. That's important, isn't it?
Tell her 1, 2, 3, 4 internships. And for anyone out there that's looking for internships, I doubt you're listening to this specific. But, you know, remember the rules. An employer can only work you 3 months, 10 to 20 hours a week, unpaid. I see so many companies trying to work the student a little bit longer than that. That's illegal. So if you want to keep them on, you pay them.
So there's are these new rules that have to do with internships?
These guidelines have been in effect for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so what are the rules?
3 months, 10 to 20 hours a week, you can have an intern on at a company unpaid.
And that's like usually that's why they happen over the summer typically?
Right. But, you know, a lot of we work on a quarter system at our school. So most of the kids go through summer quarter and they have 3 weeks off in between each quarter. So they do it with their education. So they're balancing a full load of school as well as an internship.
Yeah. But in going after an internship, just because it is an unpaid internship, that's not necessarily a knockout factor, right? If it meets other criteria and it's aligned with what you want to do in your career, I mean, is it? are you cool with people taking unpaid internships?
Absolutely. I mean, once they graduate, I really we like to focus on them getting paid because
right.
you know
right.
most of them have student loans, so we do focus on that. But there are tons of paid internships as well.
Right.
Most companies are willing to pay for their internships.
But an unpaid could be like a project. Like they can say, okay, this is a project for 3 months that we're going to work on this.
Absolutely.
And can there be a grade associated with it, or is it just the experience?
Some of the programs at the school require for you to have an internship, so then that would go towards that class that they take, the internship
right.
class. But a lot of the programs like Web, they don't have to have an internship. But I go tell them, you know, it would benefit you to have an internship.
Right.
But a lot of these Web kids, they just jump right into the industry and they're working and they're freelancing. So, you know, that's equally as important,
right.
too.
Now, do you work with the employer to help align the internship to make sure that the student is getting the best possible experience?
You know, we have an internship coordinator, the student employment advisor. They do that more. I mainly focus on full-time, part-time.
After the...
once they graduate.
Right.
right. But I have helped out in the past.
Right. Because yeah. that would make sense that the employer and the school is aligned, that helps them kind of get an experience that's, you know, online with what they're learning in the classroom.
Right, right.
So is there some formal structured process for a prospective employer to connect with you, or is it just, you know, pretty old school? Get in touch with Gabriella, give her a call, have a conversation, and see how you guys might help each other.
Yep, give me a call. If I don't represent the major you're looking for, I mean, we have graphic design, we have illustration, we have culinary, advertising, audio, animation. Okay, I think I got all of them. But but however, you call me, you let me know what you're looking for, and I will get that posted to the right department. We'll send you over some resumes. It's, you know, it's great for employers too because we're free. So we
right.
are happy to post your positions for free.
Why don't you get that, Joseph? Free.
Yeah, free. Absolutely free. I don't take any money from you if you hire any of our grads.
They should have an app. For the
yeah,
right.
should actually.
Actually, you know, we should. We absolutely should.
So let's get that phone number so folks can call you and have that conversation, and any other contact info you want to share with our listeners.
Sure. You can reach me directly at 770-689-4870, and you can email me at geisenhart, EISENHART, at AII.edu.
And the website for the Art Institute?
It's artinstitutes.edu, and then you do /Atlanta for the Atlanta branch.
Good stuff.
Well, I'm so glad you came down to visit with us this morning.
Yeah, I'm glad too. Thanks for having me.
You going to hang with us while we have one more conversation?
Absolutely.
All right. And next up on Atlanta Business Radio, we have with us from ISES, and she also works with Event Curious. Please welcome to the show, Miss Kelly Treadway. Hello there.
Hi, good morning.
So you've been very polite. I've seen you nod your head quite a bit, maybe take a few notes. So I get the sense that you've already garnered some value from the conversation, yeah?
Absolutely. Gabrielle's a great connection for me. I'm looking for illustrators for some projects. So.
Oh. Look yep. at that.
Well,
you're
there you go.
Calling me later.
That's the magic that happens at Business Radio X.
That's
outstanding.
Right.
So ISES, tell us a little bit about this outfit.
ISES stands for International Special Event Society. It's a professional association for event professionals, and it promotes education for event professionals and also promotes the special event industry.
Now, how is that defined, special event industry?
Special events industry, those are your companies and your professionals that are servicing events, the event world.
So is that trade shows or is that conferences and expos or is that all of that?
It includes all of that. It is your weddings, your bar and bat mitzvahs, your corporate events, your corporate meetings, trade shows, expos. It encompasses all of that.
Wow. So is this an international group?
It is an international group. They are in 38 countries currently, over 7,000 current members. The Greater Atlanta chapter has about 120 active members, and the members range from event planners to designers, caterers, venues, hotels. It's a broad spectrum, a very diverse group.
So now some of these folks at some level compete with each other, but it sounds like you guys play well together, share best practices, try to help each other out, probably partner on some larger events. Is that kind of how it goes?
Absolutely. That's the beauty of ISES, is that it it's a peer network where you can connect and build relationships. And you might be in the same niche of the industry, but you can learn from each other. You can refer business back and forth to each other. It's the mission for ISIS is very much built on connections and relationships.
Now, how does the educational component work? Are there conferences or there's learning opportunities?
There are. On a local level, your local chapters will have monthly meetings, and a percentage of those meetings have to be geared towards education. And they range from education in the industry, learning how a production company works or learning about catering, but they also, it extends into how to run your business, how to work accounting. It's a broad range of education locally. On the international level, there is an annual conference typically held in the summer. This year it's going to be in the Bahamas.
Nice.
We're very excited about that. It's called ISIS Live, and that is, it's your typical conference built with a multitude of classes that people can take and be educated from within their niche also to business and marketing.
So now the members of ISIS, like you said, they run the gamut of everybody involved in any type of event, right? So you have caterers on one hand, but you can also have big, can you have like the World Congress Center would be a member or potential?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So it runs a gamut for like from an individual all the way to a big corporation?
Mm-hmm. It runs, yes. It could be an events professional that's running a small business all the way up to, like you said, the Georgia World Congress Center or the aquarium. World of Coke. It's and those are corporate membership accounts, but it's made up of the large and small companies.
Can you share an example or two of how you feel like your participation in ISIS has had a direct and positive impact on your business? Event Curious?
Absolutely. My background, I started in theater. And then moved into venue management, and then moved into catering and hotel management, and then into rentals. So, hence the company name Event Curious. I'm very curious about all the different aspects of events, and events has been all that I've ever done. ISIS, when I was looking for an association to join, there are many out there, but ISIS is the only one that involves all disciplines of the industry. And having the mindset that I do, I was curious. I was interested in all of those different areas, so it was the best fit for me. This is my fifth year in the association and my fourth year on their board, and I can honestly say that it has helped grow me personally to where I was able to start my own business in the last year. And ISIS helped me with building mentorship, not just locally, but I have a mentor on the West Coast. I have someone in the Southeast, which is nice because it gets you out of your competitor's area. Right. And that's been huge for me, is having those mentors. It's also been great in having connections and knowing that when I get ready to build my accounts, build my company and grow into, say, Dallas, Texas, that I already have connections there. I already have connections on the West Coast. I have connections in Alabama. I mean, I have, because of ISIS, I have connections as far as Australia and all the way up to Canada.
So, like, if somebody was in Australia, say, and they're thinking about doing something in Atlanta, they could call you, and because you're involved in this organization, you'd be open to sharing information, and then they might, you know, use you as a service provider as well, right?
So. Absolutely. And that happens every week. Every week I get a call. This week I got a call from someone with the South Carolina Coastal Chapter looking for a vendor in Atlanta, and I was able to refer. I couldn't help them, but I was able to connect them with someone that could.
So a little counsel, if you would, a little advice for someone maybe just beginning to join the organization. I can't speak for everyone, but for me, it's a little intimidating when you first enter into a new, you know, a new group like that. How do you get yourself into the swing of
things? Right, does ISIS have a way to kind of help that person integrate into the group and to feel comfortable when they meet some people?
They do. On the local chapter with Greater Atlanta, they have what's called ambassadors. So we know when someone is a first comer to the meetings, they'll be identified and someone will help them introduce them to others, especially other vendors or other potential clients that could help them.
So like say I come in, I'm a caterer, and I'm, you know, I look around, there's all these big name caterers that are bigger than I am. Like there's somebody there that's going to kind of take me around and give me the lay of the land so I'm not, you know, intimidated. I might walk right back out, you know, if there wasn't somebody like that.
Exactly. Yeah. ISIS doesn't let you stand in the corner.
Right. But that's important because some organizations, sure, you go in there and you're, you know, there's a room full of people. It seems like everybody else knows everybody. And then you're right, standing there going, why am I here? You know?
Yeah, definitely not one of those organizations. You're paired with someone and then your first stop is the bar. And then from there.
That's a good strategy.
Important part of the whole strategy. So you guys get together periodically, fairly often, and have meetings, events?
Well, I would think that their meetings, you got to be on, everybody's going to be on their toes because this is what they do, is do meetings. So,
well, I was
right?
going to say, wouldn't it drive you nuts? I would be so nervous if I'm the one picked to handle right, something at the upcoming event, right?
Yeah, we have the best event, the best
exactly,
meetings. Yeah, we have a committee, a programs and education committee, and that's all they do for the year. They're on the board, and they plan out the member events for the year. And they are some of the most fun, most educating events. The meetings are once a month, the first Tuesday of every month. And if you have not attended an ISIS event before, you can get in touch with me, and you can attend the first meeting at no charge, so that uh-huh, you can get a feel of how the association works, and yeah, it's a good time.
Now, when you're doing the meetings, they happen monthly, right?
Yes.
And then at the meeting, you said there's an educational component, there's a kind of a networking meet and greet component, and then at the end, what's the like? Do you have a what's the meeting like? Give me the what happens. Like I come there, you take me to the bar, and then we sit down at a dinner, like, and then we eat, and then we learn, or how does that?
It varies.
How does it work?
It really does vary. Some of the events are networking, or geared toward networking, so you don't have an education component. But then every other month there is an educational
like
component.
A speaker will come in and
correct.
And so we'll sit down now. This is more formal.
Correct. When there's a speaker, it's a more formal sit down breakfast or sit down dinner. When it's networking, it's
just a free-for-all.
Yeah, and active chef stations. I have to say food and beverage, that's a large component of the meetings because that's what our industry does.
So it's professionals, but there's also vendors? It's a mixture of the vendors and the professionals that serve the clients and the clients as well?
Correct. I mean, some members will bring their clients so that introduced to other members.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Very nice.
So if you have a client, if you're a caterer and you have a client that's looking for a tent for their spring event, they might come to the meeting and be introduced to our other members who are tent companies.
Wow. So that's great.
So I have my first app idea for both those like me and you that don't know our elbow from apple butter when it comes to setting up an event. How cool would it be if I could go to my app and find ISIS certified caterer, ISIS certified whatever. Is it... Does that have any merit sometimes?
I love that idea. Yes.
Now we just got to find somebody who makes apps.
Yeah. We'll get somebody in there. I'm confident. But now you didn't just get involved. I mean, you're the president.
I'm VP-elect this year.
Okay.
So I'll move into presidency in 2013-2014 year. So
wow,
in July.
So it's good for your business, but you're committed to the profession. You're going above and beyond here. I mean,
yeah.
I can tell you thoroughly enjoy it.
I've definitely drank the Kool-Aid of ISIS.
So all through today's show, I've asked for counsel and advice, and I think it probably would be good to get a little counsel from you for people that are in a completely different business. We just need to have a really cool event in May or whatever. What kinds of questions should we be asking when we're talking to an event specialist? Or what should we be looking for in that conversation? Because we could get hoodwinked in a heartbeat, couldn't we? And maybe the answer is just, you know, get somebody ISIS ordained or something.
Exactly. You know, if they're a member of ISIS, there's a quality, a level of professionalism there. So you definitely want to identify that. Their ISIS supports the CSCP, which is the Certified Special Event Professional. So if you know if someone has that
designation. That's a professional designation.
Mm-hmm. That's professional designation that you have to test for, and it's a strenuous, you know, learning process to test for it. It's, it's not an easy one to get. So if they have that designation, you know that they're on the up and up. We were talking about technology today. You want to check out their website. Equally, you want to check out their Facebook page, which is becoming a standard of you have a website, you must have a Facebook page. There are certain identifiers that you want to check into when looking at special events companies.
So let's get all those coordinates, and you probably have them all, right, for Event Curious and for ISIS, so that kind of thing, website, Facebook, Twitter.
Yes.
Let's do that and make sure our listeners can get in touch with you.
Perfect. ISIS on the Greater Atlanta chapter for ISIS is www.isisatlanta.com. The international website is just isis.com. And if anyone has questions or wants to attend a meeting, they can reach out to me at kelly@eventcurious.com. I'm also on Facebook as Kelly Treadway, and on Twitter, you can find me on Event Curious.
Now, a quick plug for your company, Event Curious. What are you guys doing for folks?
We do online marketing and public relations for special event companies and hospitality companies. So we're a niche marketer.
So your clients are the event people themselves?
They are. They're venues, they're caterers, they're hospitality gift companies. There's a wide range.
And you do that all over the country, world, now with your affiliation with ISIS, right?
We hope to very soon. I just, after a year of startup on the back end of ghostwriting and building connections, I just launched my company beginning of this year. So we are a baby in the industry. But we are growing so fast, and I am hoping to expand very soon to other states.
Good stuff.
What an exciting time for you. Mm-hmm. And I think it'd be fun to have you come back with maybe some other members of ISIS or maybe an Event Curious client.
Well, we're doing that meeting pro show. Maybe you guys have a regular segment or something on
that.
Yeah,
you
talk
should.
Talk about what's going on
you
in the group.
You guys should have a presence on meeting pros. That would be strong. Cool.
All right, this is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton and our guest today. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.